Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money at Menards.
Did you ever hear the story about the secret group of scientists, generals, and intelligence chiefs who were supposedly tasked with covering up the biggest event in modern history? Not Area 51, not Roswell. I'm talking about something even bigger. Something that never had a name until one day in the 1980s, a roll of undeveloped film showed up in a mailbox. No note, no sender, just film. When the recipient developed it, what he saw was a classified briefing for President Eisenhower, detailing the recovery of alien craft, the storage of non-human bodies, and the creation of a group called Majestic 12. 12 men, 12 ghosts, allegedly handpicked by President Truman right after Roswell to manage the fallout from first contact. And for decades, no one knew they existed. No funding trail, no public record, not even a line item in a black budget. Just their fingerprints showing up everywhere UFOs intersect with government secrecy. And here's the wild part. Some people think the documents were real. Some think they were an intentional fake, planted by the government to distract, discredit, or burn researchers. But no one disputes how surgical they were. Names, timelines, technical details, real-world connections. It was either the most elaborate disinformation op ever, or the most important leak in American history. And whether MJ-12 was real, fake, or something in between, there's one thing no one's asking. Why now? Why are pieces of this story still surfacing? And why does every thread about crash retrievals, UFO cover-ups, and modern disclosure seem to circle the same shadow? So buckle up. We're not just cracking a file open. We're digging into a buried operating system. And it might still be running. Hey folks, before we dive deeper, quick favor please. If you want more stories like this, the kind that slip through the cracks and barely survive the algorithm, please help me by subscribing. No fluff, no sponsors, just weird truths most channels won't touch. All right, back into it. Here's what almost no one talks about. In 1952, right after a swarm of unidentified objects violated restricted airspace over Washington, D.C., 2 weekends in a row, the CIA quietly recommended creating a civilian front to manage public perception of the UFO phenomenon. The result? The Robertson Panel. But that was just the surface layer. Behind the scenes, something else had already been formed, something with teeth. A classified directive, 12 men, no congressional oversight, no accountability, and a clearance level so high it didn't officially exist. Their job? To handle what Project Blue Book wouldn't touch. Crash retrievals, reverse engineering, biological samples, containment. They didn't write reports. They wrote policy. And somehow, in the decades that followed, their fingerprints ended up on everything. Secret memos linking alien tech to weapons development. Disappearances of early UFO whistleblowers. A paper trail of classified research that always led back to the same offices, the same names, the same invisible walls. This wasn't a cover-up. It was infrastructure. And here's the part that should keep you up at night. Every time someone got close to exposing it, the story collapsed into chaos. Leaks, hoaxes, counter-leaks, manufactured documents. You think MJ-12 is just a hoax? Well, that's the point. Because sometimes the best way to hide the truth is to make it look like a lie on purpose. You don't create something like Majestic 12 because you're bored. You create it because something crashed in the desert, and by the time your recovery team gets there, they're not just picking up wreckage, they're picking up biology. That's the story. Roswell 1947. Officially, a weather balloon. Unofficially, the most famous UAP incident in history. But here's what gets buried under all the pop culture noise. Multiple military witnesses reported metallic debris that couldn't be cut, burned, or dented. Locals described seeing small humanoid bodies. The Army changed its story within 24 hours. And a few weeks later, President Truman issued a classified order establishing a group tasked with overseeing unconventional aerial technology and non-terrestrial threats. That order is what some say became Majestic 12. Now let's zoom out for a second. This wasn't just the aftermath of Roswell. It was the middle of Cold War hysteria, nuclear escalation, and a brand new intelligence structure taking shape under the CIA. And suddenly, the US government had to consider a new possibility. Not just that we weren't alone, but that whatever else was out there had already arrived. You don't put that on a press release. You don't call a congressional hearing. You build a firewall, compartmentalized, deniable, hidden inside of hidden programs. And you don't just assign some mid-level bureaucrats. You handpick the top scientists, defense advisors, and intelligence officers in the country. You lock the doors and you tell them, whatever this is, figure it out and keep it quiet. Okay, so let's say you've got a problem. Something crashed. It's not from here. It's not Russian. And it's not a damn weather balloon. Who do you call? Not Ghostbusters. Apparently, these guys. Majestic 12. 12 men allegedly pulled together under direct presidential authority to investigate, suppress, and control everything related to the UFO phenomenon. And we're not talking about conspiracy theorists with time on their hands. We're talking scientific elite and intelligence royalty. Let's run the lineup. First, Vannevar Bush, architect of the Manhattan Project, basically the godfather of American military tech. If alien propulsion was in play, he's the guy you'd put in charge of reverse engineering it. Two, James Forrestal, First Secretary of Defense, huge red flag, died under mysterious circumstances after allegedly losing his grip on something he couldn't talk about. 3. Rear Admiral Roscoe H. Hillencoder, first director of the CIA. Because obviously, if you're creating a secret panel to deal with off-world threats, you want the guy running the actual shadow government in the room. 4. Dr. Donald Menzel, Harvard astrophysicist, publicly a UFO skeptic, but privately, allegedly working behind the scenes to decode alien tech. The dual role makes him perfect cover. 5. Dr. Detlev Bronk, a biophysicist expert in physiology, the man you'd call if you had bodies to examine. Just saying. 6. Dr. Jerome Hunsaker, MIT aerospace genius, helped define modern aviation. If craft recovery was on the table, he's your guy. 7. Dr. Lloyd Berkner, atmospheric physicist. He was involved in high-level scientific advising during the Cold War. Would have been essential in understanding how these things fly or hide. 8. General Nathan Twining, Air Force General, author of a famous 1947 memo declaring UFOs real and not imaginary. Yeah, that memo really exists. 9. General Hoyt Vandenberg, another Air Force bigwig, became CIA director after Hillenkoetter. His name is all over early UFO documents. 10. Major General Robert Montauk, ballistic missile commander, ran White Sands Missile Range, suspiciously close to Roswell. Pretty convenient. 11. Dr. Sidney Sowers, first director of Central Intelligence, helped design the intelligence infrastructure we still use today. And 12. Gordon Gray, national security insider, later chaired the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board. Basically, your go-to guy if you need to sell a cover story. Now, that's not a think tank. That's not a UFO fan club. That's a damn war cabinet. You've got nuclear architects, intelligence overlords, aerospace physicists, and psychological warfare strategists all allegedly pulled together into one ultra-compartmentalized black program, answering to no one and existing only on paper if you squint hard enough. So ask yourself, what kind of threat requires this level of firepower? What kind of truth would demand this kind of secrecy? And if this group didn't exist, why do all their names keep showing up again and again every time the UFO story leaks into daylight? For decades, Majestic 12 was just a rumor, a Cold War campfire story told by UFO insiders and dismissed by skeptics as pure tinfoil. That is, until 1984. That's when a UFO researcher named Jamie Shandera received an envelope in the mail. No return address, no note, just an undeveloped roll of 35mm film. He develops it, and what comes out? A briefing document, allegedly for President Eisenhower, detailing the formation of Majestic 12, the retrieval of non-human craft, the recovery of extraterrestrial bodies, and top-secret containment protocols going all the way back to Roswell. The document reads like something from a science fiction novel, only with real names, real dates, real departments, and a presidential memo at the top allegedly signed by Truman himself. No glowing fonts, no ancient aliens, just dry, formal language, the kind that says, "We've already accepted this as reality. Here's your protocol." Shandera teamed up with Bill Moore and Stanton Friedman, two heavyweights in early UFO research, and they began investigating everything they could. Were these names real? Were these positions accurate? Did any of this line up with what we already knew? And that's where things get uncomfortable, because too much of it checked out. The timeline, accurate. The named officials, all real, all active in government at that time. The writing style, consistent with classified briefing from the era. The tone, exactly what you'd expect from Cold War Black Project language. And that scared the hell out of people. So what happened? Well, eventually the documents made their way to the FBI. They opened an investigation, analyzed the formatting, the classification stamps, the chain of custody. Their conclusion? Bogus. That's the word they used. Biggest mistake was sending that to the FBI. But here's the thing. They never prosecuted it. They never charged anyone with forging government documents. They never followed up with any kind of penalty or legal takedown. Just a quiet burial. And that's what raised eyebrows even more. Because if someone forged these, they broke federal law. But if they didn't, then someone inside the machine leaked a national security file about extraterrestrials. And the government's answer was, nothing to see here. And whether they're real or not, these documents lit the fuse on the modern UFO movement. Every modern conspiracy, crash retrievals, biological samples, deep black projects, it all traces back to MJ-12. These papers became the Rosetta Stone. And whether they were fact or fiction, they reprogrammed how the public sees government secrecy. Because even if they were fake, someone knew exactly what to fake. Okay, let's flip the board for a second. What if Majestic 12 was never supposed to be believed? What if the whole thing, the Eisenhower briefing, the Truman memo, the perfect little rabbit hole, wasn't real, but intentional? That's the theory, that MJ-12 was a counterintelligence operation, crafted, planted, and leaked by the very agencies it claims to expose. Why? To distract, discredit, and destroy. Let's break it down further. First, discrediting real researchers. Here's how that works. You're a serious UFO investigator. You're following real threads, Roswell witness testimonies, Air Force memos, maybe even some off-the-record whistleblowers. Then, suddenly, a bombshell lands in your lap. Leaked MJ-12 documents. You go public. You go hard. And then the FBI swoops in and labels it all a hoax. Congratulations, you've just been discredited. Your career is radioactive. And the original leads you were chasing, buried in the fallout. It's a classic technique. Seed the lie close enough to the truth and let the lie take the fall. Then you've got flushing out whistleblowers. Think about it. If you create a fake leak, you float it out there, just enough detail to look legit, just enough bait to attract the insiders. Then you sit back and watch. Who talks? Who confirms? Who gets nervous? Boom! You've got your targets. Some researchers believe this is exactly what happened with MJ-12, that it was a sting operation disguised as a revelation, not to educate the public, but to expose the leakers. 3. You have misdirection from real programs. Here's the nastiest part. While everyone's screaming about MJ-12, documents we know existed, like those from Project Sign, Grudge, and Blue Book, get swept into the background. And meanwhile, the real post-Roswell stuff, Foreign Technology Division programs, crash retrieval units, biological anomaly research, secret aerospace development projects, all safely buried under the noise. Because if people are chasing a ghost story, they're not looking in the right file cabinets. And if MJ-12 was built as a smoke bomb, it worked. So what's more dangerous? That MJ-12 is real? Or that it was never real, but designed to look real just long enough to short-circuit the truth? Because in one version of the story, you've got a rogue secret government. But in the other, you've got an intelligence apparatus so advanced, so manipulative, and so damn confident that it can fabricate the mythology of a secret group just to keep your eyes off the actual one. And that's not just a cover-up. That's a game board. And we're all standing on it. Let's say Majestic 12 was real for a second. Let's say it wasn't disinformation. Let's say they really existed, ran the show, controlled the narrative. Now ask yourself this. You think a group like that just retires? Not a chance. Power like that doesn't dissolve. It mutates. It hides behind new names. It slips into new programs. It learns how to erase its own fingerprints. And that's exactly what some believe happened with MJ-12. Because after the 1950s, after the so-called briefings, the name disappears. But the blueprint? Still everywhere. The Collins elite. Let's start here. Allegedly, a classified working group inside the US government that investigated the metaphysical side of the phenomenon. Entities, psychic contact, even demonic frameworks. Sounds wild, right? Until you read their alleged conclusion. That the phenomenon wasn't just technological, it was spiritual. and that contact with non-human intelligences could be opening gateways humanity wasn't prepared for. Their model? Extreme secrecy, limited membership, no paper trail. Sound familiar? Then there's the so-called cosmic clearance structure, higher than top secret, used in some black projects to control knowledge flow between military branches and private contractors. It's not a real clearance level officially, but ask insiders from Bob Lazar to Luis Elizondo and you start hearing the same phrases over and over. Need to know only. Compartmentalized beyond anything I'd seen. Above presidential authority. And no one gets the full picture. They only get the slice they're allowed to handle. That's not bureaucracy. That's a system built to outlive names. Then there are the USAPs. These are real. They're buried deep in the Pentagon's budget. They don't report to Congress. And if you ask about them under FOIA, you'll get back one word, non-existent, which is cute considering they're funded. Some researchers believe MJ-12 either created the USAP model or was absorbed into it. And here's where it gets darker. The deeper you go, the more you hear about private aerospace contractors, Skunk Works, Raytheon, Northrop, entities that aren't bound by the Freedom of Information Act, entities that don't have to testify, entities that can take classified material and vanish it. So maybe MJ-12 didn't die. Maybe it went corporate. Now, fast forward to today. David Grush steps forward in 2023, an Air Force and intelligence veteran. He testifies under oath that the U.S. has recovered non-human craft, bodies, and is hiding crash retrieval programs from both Congress and the public. He doesn't say MJ-12, but he describes a structure that acts exactly like MJ-12. Luis Elizondo, former head of ATIP, says the exact same thing. A cabal inside the government, not elected, not accountable, operating off book, with technology that no one's supposed to know exists. And then there's this bombshell, the Griotta Treaty. I made a video about this just recently. An alleged secret agreement between U.S. intelligence and non-human entities signed in the 1950s, granting limited access to human subjects and biological resources in exchange for their technology. Sounds insane. No confirmed documents, no names on paper. But ask yourself, if a group like MJ-12 existed and was tasked with managing first contact, technology transfers, and recovery operations, who else would have been at the negotiating table? So maybe MJ-12 didn't die. Maybe it changed name. Or buried itself in contracts. Or turned into a ghost protocol passed between black budget command centers. Either way, if it's still alive, it's not using the name anymore. It's using yours.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money at Menards.
Let's talk about the theories they don't even want in the same room as credibility. Because once Majestic 12 entered the conversation, the floodgates didn't just open, they ruptured. And what poured out was a mix of classified whispers, Cold War paranoia, and just enough plausible detail to keep these stories breathing. So here they are, the wildest theories linked to MJ-12. Now, we're not saying they're true. We're saying they exist, and we're asking why. First theory, crash retrieval programs. This one, it's not so fringe anymore. The idea is simple. When an object crashes, whether it's Russian, Chinese, or not from here, a specialized task force moves in, recovers the wreckage, and buries a trail. MJ-12 is often linked to the original version of this protocol. And recent whistleblowers, like David Grush, they've testified under oath that these programs not only exist, but have been hidden from congressional oversight for decades. Still a theory? Maybe. But it's not a fringe one anymore. Second theory, alien treaties, the Griotta theory. According to this theory, MJ-12 didn't just manage secrecy. It negotiated with the other side. The Griotta Treaty allegedly involved an agreement between U.S. officials and non-human entities, trading limited human experimentation rights for technological advancement. No evidence, no documents, just whispers and plenty of whistleblowers. But these whispers always loop back to the same era, the 1950s, the Cold War, the Roswell aftermath, the exact window MJ-12 allegedly operated in. Coincidence? Again, maybe. But every time government transparency fails, this theory gains traction. The third theory, human cloning from alien DNA. Now this is the deep end. The story goes that genetic material was recovered, either from crash sites or through the alleged treaty, and that experiments were launched to blend alien and human genomes. The payoff? Super soldiers, intelligence upgrades, disease-resistant biology. It's the kind of theory you laugh off until you remember the US government already ran Project MKUltra, radiation dosing on civilians, and decades of classified bioweapon research. If you believe they wouldn't try, oh, you haven't read enough declassified files. Number four, cattle mutilation and behavioral control experiments. This one gets twisted. Thousands of cattle found with surgical precision cuts, drained of blood, organs removed without trauma, and no predators, no footprints, no trace. Some believe MJ-12 funded covert studies to understand electromagnetic harvesting, blood chemistry, or even biological resonance connected to non-human visitation. Others think it was human tech, testing the effects of stress, signals, mass hysteria, or behavioral programming in rural populations. Either way, it's never just the cows people are afraid of. It's the silence that follows them. So why do people believe this crazy stuff? Well, because no one filled the gaps. Because official narratives contradicted themselves. Because witnesses were threatened. Because footage disappeared. Because the more the government said nothing's going on, the more it looked like something sure was. Fringe theories grow like mushrooms in darkness. And if MJ-12 was real, if it operated beyond the public eye for decades, then what else got filed away? What else never made it to the surface? We don't have to prove these stories are true. We just have to ask why the world keeps making space for them, and what they might be hiding. So here's the real question. If all of this happened in the late 40s, the crashes, the cover-ups, the creation of a shadow committee allegedly tasked with managing the unmanageable, why now? Why, after decades of silence, denials, and laughing off every UFO sighting on late night television, are we suddenly seeing Pentagon officials talking about non-human biologics in open congressional testimony? Why is the US government publicly admitting to UAP encounters, surveillance footage, and recovered materials, but carefully sidestepping every question about what exactly they found? Well, let's rewind the tape. In the 2000s, first it started slow. Leaked videos, radar data, pilots going on record, and a quiet shift in terminology from UFOs to UAPs, as if rebranding the phenomenon somehow made it easier to digest. Then came ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Suddenly, we find out the government was actively researching this stuff all along. They just never told anyone. And the second that door cracked open, the whole house started creaking. 2023 entered David Grush, a decorated Air Force veteran, intelligence community insider, and the guy who walked into a congressional hearing and dropped a grenade on the official story. His testimony? The U.S. government is running crash retrieval and reverse engineering programs. Non-human craft have been recovered. Biological material, not of this earth, has been handled. And Congress has been kept in the dark for decades. And here's the kicker. He didn't sound like a lunatic. He sounded like a guy who had the receipts, but couldn't show them without getting disappeared. And just like that, the whole landscape shifted. So what the hell's going on? Why is this all happening now? Why is this the moment where leaks, hearings, and mainstream headlines are suddenly speaking the language of conspiracy theorists from 40 years ago? Well, there are two theories. Option one, this is MJ-12's endgame. Some believe this is the final phase of an operation that started in 1947. That disclosure isn't chaos, it's timed, controlled, programmed. That everything we're seeing now, the hearings, the terminology shifts, the carefully worded statements, is MJ-12's final script. The slow reveal, prepping the public. Because after 70 years of gatekeeping, even the gatekeepers know they can't hold it forever. Option two, someone else pulled the curtain. Or maybe MJ-12 doesn't exist anymore. Maybe it collapsed or got absorbed or just got sloppy. And someone on the inside got tired of the silence. Maybe these whistleblowers, Grush, Elizondo, Fravor, aren't part of a rollout plan. Maybe they're the rupture, the breach in the wall, the proof that whatever system was running the cover-up isn't running it very well anymore. And what's seeping through? Everything MJ-12 was built to suppress. Either way, we're not watching a disclosure. We're watching the seams rip. And whatever's been hiding in the dark, it's not just stepping into the light. It's dragging its history with it. All right, so let's step out of the shadows for a second. Because if you've made it this far, you've heard some huge claims. Recovered craft, alien contact, a secret group managing the biggest cover-up in human history. So let's hit the brakes and ask the real question, the only one that matters. Is any of this stuff real? Not could it be real, not what if it's real. What do we actually know? Let's start with the documents. The Eisenhower briefing document, the Truman memo, they exist physically. You can find them in archives, scans, and government databases. The FBI examined them and publicly labeled them bogus. But here's what they didn't do. They never investigated them as a national security breach. They never charged anyone with forgery. They never identified who made them. And they never explained why a hoax that detailed real officials, real timelines, and real agencies got it all so eerily correct. So confirmed documents? Yes. Confirmed authenticity? No. Confirmed mystery? Absolutely. The people? All real. All powerful. Every alleged member of MJ-12 was a verifiable figure. We're talking high-ranking generals, CIA directors, nuclear physicists, national security advisors. Vannevar Bush, Hoyt Vandenberg, James Forrestal. These weren't mythological figures. They ran the military-industrial complex before that phrase even existed. And many of them were involved in programs that directly intersected with UFO reports, advanced weapons tech, and psychological warfare. So when someone says those names don't prove anything, maybe not, but they don't mean nothing either. So yes, a lot of garbage has been attached to MJ-12 over the years. Fake memos filled with typos, anonymous letters about alien ambassadors, grainy photos of star maps drawn in crayon. And that's the problem with secrets. They attract parasites. So we're not defending the hoaxes. We're not holding on to the noise. But when the fake stuff starts getting inserted next to the real stuff, that's not an accident. That's camouflage. And it's worked. Because now, if you even mention MJ-12, most people lump you in with Bigfoot hunters and moon landing truthers. That's by design. So, what's the truth? Well, we don't know if MJ-12 existed. No one can say for sure unless they were on MJ-12. But here's what we do know. A group of 12 high-level officials, all with access to the most sensitive programs in the country, were allegedly pulled into a compartmentalized committee right after Roswell. Their names show up in multiple classified UFO investigations. The government has repeatedly lied about investigating UFOs, only to later admit it did. And everything we're seeing now? Crash retrievals, non-human materials, biological studies, echoes what MJ-12 was supposedly doing in the 1950s. So is MJ-12 real? Here's the Divergent Files answer. We're not chasing conspiracy. We're chasing broken truth. And sometimes what we find isn't that the story's fake. It's that it was deliberately shattered into enough pieces that no one could ever put it back together. But we're still sure as hell gonna try. If Majestic 12 existed, it wasn't just about UFOs. It wasn't about aliens or spacecraft or even national security. It was about control. Control over what gets to be real. Control over what you're allowed to question. Control over what counts as truth and what gets thrown into the garbage fire of conspiracy. Because if you can dictate the boundaries of belief, you don't need to cover up anything. You just make sure no one's willing to look. That's the real function of MJ-12. Not hiding aircraft, not silencing witnesses. Reprogramming reality. One document, one leak, one discrediting campaign at a time. And it's worked. For decades, people who asked the wrong questions were labeled crazy. Careers were destroyed. Evidence disappeared. And in the process, the story stopped being about what happened and started being about who we're allowed to believe. That's not a cover-up. That's a reset. Because when you own belief, you don't have to lie. You just wait for people to forget. And if MJ-12 really was the puppet master behind the curtain, they weren't just managing a secret. They were managing us. All right, folks. If your brain feels like it's been through a classified paper shredder, good. That means it's working. I'm Ralph. This has been Divergent Files. And if you made it to the end of this rabbit hole, you probably get why like, subscribe, and sacrificing your digital soul to the algorithm actually matters. This channel has no sponsors, no corporate backing, just late nights, too much coffee, and a growing stack of declassified weird. If you want more deep dives like this one, uncensored, unfiltered, and maybe a little too close to the truth, join us at patreon.com/divergentfiles. It's $3 a month, cheaper than the black budget burrito the Pentagon probably billed for this story. You'll get early access, bonus chaos, and extended episodes too hot for the main feed. And hey, we're not just on YouTube anymore. Divergent Files Project Podcast is now live everywhere you listen to long-form breakdowns. No censors, no mercy. Just us, pulling the curtain back one thread at a time. Also, got a theory? A lead? A case that's been driving you insane? Drop it in the comments. I read every one. And sometimes your ideas are the ones that break the next story wide open. The truth was never missing. It was just out of frame. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for sticking around. And until next time, stay sharp, stay skeptical, and remember, you are truly appreciated.